Our second reading is 2 Chronicles chapter 33. So let's turn there together. Second Chronicles 33, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Baalim, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, In Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused the children, his children, to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made, in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law and statutes of the ordinances and the ordinances by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err, and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore, the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Now after this, he built a wall without the city of David on the west side of Gihon in the valley, even to the entering in at the fish gate, and compassed about Ophel and raised it up a very great height and put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. And he took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places, yet unto the Lord their God only. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and his prayer unto his God and the words of the seers that spake to him in the name of the Lord God of Israel, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. His prayer also, and how God was entreated of him, and all his sin and his trespass, and the places wherein he built high places and set up groves and graven images before he was humbled, behold, they are written among the sayings of the seers. So Manasseh slept with his fathers, and they buried him in his own house, and Amon his son reigned in his stead. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem, but he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father, for Amon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh had made, which Manasseh his father had made, and served them, and humbled not himself before the Lord as Manasseh his father had humbled himself, but Amon trespassed more and more. And his servants conspired against him and slew him in his own house. But the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Amon, and the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so we have the breath of fresh air in Hezekiah, and then Hezekiah meets his earthly end in peace, and yet after having been involved in pride and then humiliation. And now Manasseh, his son, reigns in his stead, and Manasseh does not undertake the way his father did. We understand of Hezekiah that at the earliest of his reign, he began the reforms, the cleansing of the house of God, the setting up of the proper worship, and so on, just a few chapters back. But Manasseh, well, he was 12 years old when he began to reign, and there's some conjecture on this, and when I'm talking to you about conjecture, I will indeed mention it, that it is conjecture, because it's not specifically stated, but I think this is something that does merit mention, and that is that, so he's 12 years old when he comes to the kingdom, and normally at 12 years old, they don't give a 12-year-old king the keys to the palace. There are others that rule over him as regents until such time as he, as it were, comes into his own, comes into his majority. And so it may be, and I say may, but I say it with a point of warning for us all, and that is that although Hezekiah was a godly king, it may have been that there were others in his kingdom that were not on board with all that Hezekiah had commanded and done. Such that when Manasseh became king at the age of 12, at the ripe young age of 12, that he received bad counsel from those elements that were yet remaining in Hezekiah's kingdom. And so what happened is he went astray. He did not have a godly father like Hezekiah to guide him. Rather, those that guided him, it seems to me, guided him into idolatry, or back into the idolatry that King Ahaz had instituted before Hezekiah. Now, I can't be dogmatic on that because the scriptures are not specific or explicit in that, but I can set this up as a warning, can't I? That the warning is that as Rehoboam came to power and he took counsel with all of the young men, not the old men, and followed that evil counsel to do evil, that it seems to me that's what Manasseh is doing here. The scripture principle is true, that kings, no matter what age they are, but especially at a young and tender age, they must have good counselors that know the Lord around them. That's always something to pray for, beloved. We should pray the same for our president, for our governor, for all those executive authorities in our land, that they have counselors that will teach them the truth, that will leave off teaching them political expediency and begin teaching them that if they bring their nation or charge under the crosshairs of heaven, it will not prosper in any way. That's what we need, those kinds of counselors. Well, it seems that Manasseh did not have those kinds of counselors, and so he undid everything his father did. We could read it all again, but you understand that not only the gods of heaven, as it is said, right, the stars, the moon, the sun, all the signs of heaven, but also specific names are given, and then one is implied. The Baalim are specifically given, and then the worship of Milcom or Molech is indeed implied in that he caused his children to pass through the fire. That is Milcom worship. That is that there is illicit relations going on as a part of that worship, and what do we do with the children? Here's an answer. We'll offer them up to the gods. Remember that, as we've said before, so we say again, spiritual idolatry always leads to earthly idolatry. Earthly idolatry, in that sense, always leads to fornication, which leads to children. And what do we do with the children? They had that problem in their day. We have that problem in our day. We have a sanitary, more sanitary way of taking care of the problem. But it is the same problem. It is the throwing off of the worship of God, the worshiping of our own appetites instead. Sometimes that will be, you know, religionized, and sometimes it won't be. But the problem is still the same. And the and the outcomes for carnal people are still the same. So, Milcom worship, Baal worship, the host of heaven, idols everywhere, even, it seems, from the description here in the Holy of Holies. There is an idol set up in the Holy of Holies. All right, so all of that deformation takes place under Manasseh's reign. And then, that takes us down through verse 10. Oh, one other thing to mention that the prophet is clear to mention to us here, that the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. They would not hearken. It says of Manasseh that he made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err. Let's make sure we understand what Ezra means by that as he says it. That is, he didn't force their hand in sinning, but as the king, he encouraged them to it, and they took it up all too readily. No one in heaven or in earth, beloved, has the power to make you sin. No one has the power to do that. You must give your permission. You must give your hand to that. You must put your vote forward in order to get lost in some sin or other. Okay? All right, so that takes us down through verse 10. The Lord sent prophets to them, and they would not hearken. So the Lord took the next step then. He took a more drastic measure, and he stirred up the kings of Assyria, who came in and took Manasseh captive. And we've already heard in the days of Hezekiah that the northern kingdom has already been spread throughout, you know, wherever, the lost 10 tribes of Israel, as some people say. Some stayed, and some were taken to Assyria, and some were taken to other lands. So now the kings of Assyria come south. They take Manasseh hostage, and they bring him, of all places, to Babylon, and they put him in prison there. And while he's in prison, he cries out to the Lord his God, and the Lord hears him and converts him and brings him back to his kingdom in Jerusalem. This is one of the most extraordinary pieces of history that you'll ever read. It is true history. A king, a wicked king, was chastised by the Lord and brought to prison in a foreign land. Somehow, through details we're not given here, he was released. He came back, and he was installed as king again, and he was converted to his God. Then Manasseh knew that Jehovah, he was God, is how the text reads. And how do we know that? How is it that we can say with the prophet here that that's exactly what happened? Because he immediately institutes reforms, and he endeavors to the best of his ability to bring the kingdom back to its stature under his father Hezekiah. And so he tears down the images, he takes them, he throws them out of the city, commands the people to worship the Lord God of their fathers only, and this works as far as it can go. It doesn't go all the way, however, because the high places are still not torn down. But it's the only place in the scripture where you'll read this phrase. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places. You read that in several places. But yet unto the Lord their God only. This is the only place in scripture where you will read that. And why is that? Because Manasseh, for all that he could do, could not completely restore biblical lawful worship in Israel. Shall we say then, or what shall our judgment be of such a case as that? Shall we say that because it was not everything, that it was nothing? Obviously not. This is true reformation, although it may not be complete reformation. If you were a Levite in those days, a churchman, a faithful churchman, what would you say to Manasseh? I'm sorry, Manasseh, I cannot participate in your reformation because the people are still sacrificing to Jehovah on the high places. If you were Manasseh, you would say, no, wait a minute, I've asked your help to get all the idols out of Judah and Jerusalem, to take them down, to get them out of Jerusalem, to get them out into the brook Kidron, to cleanse the house of God, to set up the worship of God according to the commandment. What do you mean we don't have a reformation going here? Of course we do. Yes, I'm grieved that it's not everything it could be. But it is real. It is true. And so it would be the duty of that Levite to join in with that real and true reformation. No, never to account that what was going on in the high places was lawful, not to accept that which is unlawful as lawful, but to continue that reformation. Because, beloved, it doesn't happen like a switch. It happens over a process of time. And it takes stout believers to enter into that process with their stout leaders, that it may come to pass. So then Manasseh slept with his fathers. By the way, the second Kings section that talks about Manasseh never talks about his repentance. Ezra talks about his repentance because Ezra's focus is on the temple and its worship. And so we hear that Manasseh came home and enacted those reforms, although they could not be everything that he had hoped. All right, so then we have his son Amon, who is raised up to be king after him, and he only reigns for 2 years in Jerusalem. It turns out that he's about undoing everything that Manasseh has done in his reformation and bringing back all of the false worship and so on, the carved images which Manasseh, his father, had made. And so we are also clued in that Manasseh's reformation could have gone farther in that those carved images could have been absolutely destroyed, but they were not. If, beloved, even the serpent of brass can be used as an idol, right? And the king calls it Nehushtan, a thing of brass, and casts it out and stamps it to powder and grinds it to pieces. So also things that are monuments of idolatry ought also to be rooted out. Well, he would not humble himself before the Lord as Manasseh, his father, had humbled himself, but Amon trespassed more and more, and so his servants conspired against him and slew him in his own house. Good for them. No, not good for them. Although he was worthy of death as an idolater, they took the law into their own hands and slew him. But the people of the land, that is, those who were of legal authority, took those who slew Manasseh and brought them to justice. So lawlessness ought not ever beget lawlessness. Lawlessness ought to beget lawfulness in its overcoming, right? And that's how the chapter ends. Josiah, his son, reigned in his stead, and he was only 8 years old when he came to power, and yet he must have had some pretty good counselors. With that, then, let's stand again.